Good evening, everyone. Good evening. It's great to be together, is it not? Oh, no. Would you all rather just be separate? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. There's someone passionate about that tonight. I feel like we've been through several stages of worship tonight. We've had joy. We've had sort of quieter moments. We've had adoration. I'm excited by that. I'm excited by what God's doing here. I'm excited to be part of it. And Jesus is alive and he's on the throne and he's coming back for his church. Let's keep that at the front and center. The thing I want to talk to you about tonight, I've called Master Your Mind. I hope you got the thing that it's not Mastermind Your, it's Master Your Mind. I hope that makes sense. What I'm going to bring to you probably won't actually be anything other than a simple reminder. But I think sometimes the key is simplicity. Without going into too much detail, a sports person who I follow quite regularly, who I know a tiny bit personally, said the thing that has made the difference to his team this season is that their manager does things really simply. He says, I go out and I know exactly what is expected of me. And wouldn't it be great if, rather than this complicated theological tangle, every Sunday, every day that we get out of bed, or even before we get out of bed, we think to ourselves, I know exactly what God expects of me today. Wouldn't that be good? And part of the key to that is by having a clear mind, is by mastering your mind. And the thing that God really brought to mind right at the start of the worship is that your mind is there to be mastered. It's there to be mastered. And you can actually get mastery over it. I believe you can. And I believe it all starts tonight. And there's two simple things, and I'm going to tell you tonight. And they're both things that God has given us in the scriptures, in the Bible, that will help us take things back. I remember, I wouldn't go into too much detail about it, but I loved it. I remember this song from when I was growing up, and it was kind of a Spirit of the Age song, and it wasn't a Christian song, and it was entitled Take the Power Back. Let's take the power back from the people who've stolen it from us. And I think tonight I want you, every single one of us, because I think all of us, even if it's only a tiny little bit, even if we don't recognise it as that, all of us suffer a mental health episode every now and again. Let's take the power back tonight. And let's put our minds right under the authority of God, okay? Okay. Can I just pray? Because I'm not going to get anywhere tonight without God's help. Father, I come before you this evening as a... Lord, I just want to serve you. And I pray that anything I say will be exactly what you want these people to say. I know I've already said things that I didn't expect to say. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you will help these people, help me, all of us understand how we can take the power back and master our minds for your glory, so we can live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. It's rhetorical, you don't need to answer, you don't need to shout out, but just think for a minute. What is holding you back in your life at the moment? What is holding you back? Mental health, that's a good thing. I bet there's lots of us. The thinking patterns often hold me back. What's holding you back at the minute? If you think where you are now and where you could be, should be, want to be, what's holding you back? What's the barrier? What's like the stile that has to be climbed over? Pete and I, in very adverse circumstances, went walking in the Peak District 2 weeks ago. He hasn't got a district named after himself. when walking in the Peak District, and there were a number of gates and stiles that we had to climb over. And it just came to mind, if we didn't try and battle that and climb over that, even if it was really difficult, one bit there was a gate that was locked and we had to kind of climb right over it, even though it was wet and slippy. If we didn't do that, we'd never get to the next point that we needed to be at. So what is the blockage? What is holding you back from where you are now, where you could be, should be, want to be? You may have a thing that God has spoken deep into your heart. You may never have even shared it with anyone. And you may be thinking, I want to move into that life right now. I want to move into that life as quickly as possible. But there's something that's holding me back. Think about what it could be. Could it be that just a couple of simple alterations could be the key to getting you from where you are now to where you want to be, to where God may have said to you, you can be in that place and I want you to be in that place. Tonight, every single one of us, should we do this together? Let's master our minds. And not just for tonight, but I encourage you to take some notes, even if it's just one or two little things. But I want to give you some, almost like a mini toolkit, and it's really simple stuff, but a mini toolkit so that you can take this away. And so that if in the future, whether it's later today, tomorrow, next year, whenever, you can go back and you could say, I remember one night when I learned how to master my mind, I'm going to go back there, I'm going to revisit the stuff. So you don't need to go back and try and learn it all again. Actually, you only need to learn it the once and then just keep reminding yourself of these tactics. Maybe you want to try these things every single day. My mum used to say to me, my mum died, well, over going on for 4 years ago, which is a bit of a shock in itself. But she used to say to me, she used to, lovingly, in the way that a good mum would, she used to tell me off when I spoke negatively, and she used to say, James, your words have power. And do you know what? I was really arrogant. I was like, no, they don't. They're just words. I'm just expressing myself. I'm just... I need to get this out. But believe me, I know there are times when we need... Have you ever heard of the word catharsis? We need just to be able to just get out some frustration. But the way that we speak is hugely important. I used to underestimate what my mum said, and then one day something clicked, and I realised what she was saying was true. I've lived it now. I've seen the power that our words have. I've also realised that the way we choose to talk about things and the way we choose to think about things as well is crucial. It's crucial, often crucial to the stance we adopt when we go into a situation, the way that we treat people. These two things could even make or break your life. They could make or break a situation. They could make or break your future. The way you speak and the way you think. I realise I spoke about this relatively recently, not that many weeks ago. I said to you that I delivered a talk on words and the importance of the words that we speak and the things that we say. But during the week, I was actually preparing a message for you based on John chapter 9. And then God just said, and I was a little bit frustrated at this initially. He just said, stop. This is good, but this isn't what I want you to say. That's why I need to spend time. I need to be released to spend time with God so I can tell you what he wants me to say to you. And he said, I want you to talk about this thing here. I want to tell your people how they can master their minds. Master their minds. So I'm not apologizing for repeating myself. In fact, repeating yourself is important. And I'm not apologizing because if you don't like it, just pray to God and say, why did you tell James to talk about that thing again that I'd already heard about relatively recently? Maybe you don't even remember. I don't know. So maybe it's a good thing. But I really believe if we can get our words in line with God, and if we can get our thoughts in line with God, then that is the key to changing our lives, changing this church, changing the area that we're in, changing our relationships. It could change the world if every single person, not even just every single person, just every single Christian, which is a lot of the globe anyway, but if every single Christian just said, I'm going to commit to this, would change the world just like that. It would change because everyone would notice the positive difference straight away. And you and I, if we decide to take this seriously tonight, we can see change in our relationships. We can see change everywhere we go. We can bring that change. Do you believe that? I really believe just by countering the way that you work with something better can change things. I don't think that we should think about this as a fruit issue. I think we should think about this as a root issue. So I'm not talking about just plucking off bits of bad fruit, as in, you know, the words, one or two words that we say, one or two words that we think, oh, we just won't do that anymore. I'm talking about a fundamental shift where we say, I am going to imagine that the words that I say and the thoughts that I speak are part of the root system of who I am, who I am in Christ. And if I get my identity in Christ settled, I recognize that Jesus has died for me, that Jesus loves me, that Jesus, even if I don't feel like it, I recognize that God has already won the war, and the battle is, there's a battle raging over this land, but Jesus has won the victory. If I recognize that I'm seated in heavenly places, that I don't really belong to this earth and I'm just passing through it, then things will change, because we'll begin to act in line with who we are. Who knows, if you think back to a job you may have had at one point or another, has anyone here ever worn a uniform? You might still wear a uniform. My sister Becca's a nurse, and I see her leaving the house with her uniform on and her lanyard on, so everyone knows who she is. Everyone knows that she works for a hospital. Who knows that when you put on that uniform, you have to assume a particular role, don't you? You have to assume a particular role. You have to go along the lines of what your employer expects. And it's very similar to that. I'm not talking about something false. I'm talking about something real. Let's put on tonight the stuff that God has given us. And often we live way below what God has already won for us, what God has already said in us. So let's try and live in what he says tonight. Nathaniel Hawthorne once said this about words. He said, words, so innocent and powerless as they are, as standing in a dictionary, how potent for good and for evil they become in the hands of one who knows how to combine them. When we just know how to put them in a particular way that may manipulate, may cause harm. George Orwell once said, but if thought, and this is where I want to get to tonight, but if thought corrupts language, language can also corrupt thought. I believe that our words and our thoughts are interchangeable. They're both hugely important. They're interlinked. Whoever heard the phrase, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all? Why do we think that is some... I remember becoming an adult and thinking that's some weird twee thing that you'd say to children to keep them in line. Well, do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I think tonight we should adopt something similar. I know the people in my life that speak life over me, and I know the people who speak death. And I want to be with the people who speak life. And tonight, no matter what your pastor said, you can be a person who speaks life by choosing the right thoughts and the right words, okay? A man called Andrew Young once said, I have concluded that wealth is a state of mind, and that anyone can acquire a wealthy state of mind by thinking rich thoughts. Thinking rich thoughts. This immediately, as soon as I read this, it made me think Philippians 4 verse 8. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. It says this, Philippians 4 verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Paul says, just before I finish signing off this letter, I want to tell you one more substantial thing. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Does he say anything there about thinking or fixating on bad stuff, on things that's going to do us harm, things that are going to do other people harm? No, he says whatever is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Good things, things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Our words and our thoughts are interlinked, and mental health, the area of mental health, is a huge battleground. I believe it's one of the biggest battlegrounds in the church at the minute. It's fighting for a good state of mind. But I believe that God has already put stuff in here, in his word, that we can just lift out of the pages and apply to our lives and say, we know how to live in a healthy state of mind, not just a healthy body, but a healthy mind as well, because of what God has already done for us. We could make the mistake of thinking, well, the whole thing of like having good or bad mental health is a relatively new thing. But I'm going to show you in just a second exactly why it's something that's been around since the dawn of time. If you survey scripture, you will find people who suffered from mental health issues. Zacchaeus, not on the face of it maybe, but I think he didn't really fit in. He was ashamed of who he'd become. Elijah great example. He was massively depressed and he actually wished death on himself. He said, Lord, you know, this is what it's going to be like. Just take me now. That's wishing death on yourself. There was the man who used to go into the caves and he would scream out all night. He was so tormented. You read about him in Mark's gospel. He was so tormented, he used to self-harm. He used to cut himself on rocks. He'd scream out. He was so tormented by the demons. And one day, Jesus confronted the demons. See, Jesus never left people with their demons. He always cast them out. He always cast them out. And he said, and the amazing thing was, the demons actually went to him and they said to him, Jesus, what do you want? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with us? Please don't torture us. Who do you think? They might have been torturing the guy there, but who do you think's got the real power there? I think they actually confess it themselves. Jesus almost doesn't need to say or do anything. Jesus can take control, help you take control back of your state of mind. The demons begged, send us into those pigs, and they were expelled from the man into the herd of pigs, and the pigs shot off and were drowned, weren't they? You might remember the story. You can look at the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was depressed. The prodigal son realized he'd made a right old hash of things. He'd squandered huge wealth on wild living. And he ended up depressed. He realized it bought him absolutely nothing. He thought he'd buy him something great and it bought him nothing. There's so many other stories. Even Jesus, he's said to have sweat drops of blood. His sweat was like drops of blood on the ground. That suggests to me someone who is in an intense state of anxiety. Jesus knew that the cross was coming. He knew he had to be obedient. But Jesus was racked with anxiety. Even next time you feel like you're upstairs, you're not doing too great, I'm having a little bit of a bad day here, just say to yourself, even Jesus felt like this once. Even Jesus felt like it once. In his human self, he was fully God and fully man, but in his manly state of being, he was beyond anxious. I've suffered anxiety before, but never like that. Jesus has been there. That shows he cares because he chose to be in that state. He chose to enter into our suffering. We can never ever say when we go through difficult stuff that God doesn't know or God doesn't care. The key is, friends, and I want to tell you this tonight, that firstly, when you suffer with problems in your mind, you don't need to stay there. Secondly, you need God and you need people to help you out of it. Don't, you know, abandon church. Don't abandon Christians. Don't go and lock yourself away because then you make yourself vulnerable. Thirdly, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray and then you need to praise and you need to worship and you need to read truth of scripture over yourself and you need to do these things. And you need to remember more than anything that you hold the power. You hold the power to get to where you need to be. I speak as someone who suffered these things. I think probably we all have at one point or another. It's important to remember when we think about our words and our thoughts, they're not the same thing. They're not the same thing. Our words and our thoughts are different. It's important to remember, I believe the Bible backs this up. I'll give you one example now. I believe, and this is a real key, I believe that Satan can hear your words, but he can't know your thoughts. I believe he can hear your words, just like you're hearing my words now, but he can't know your thoughts. So do you know what I've begun, since I began to understand that, God showed me that in the scriptures, and when I began to understand that, I started to think, right, do you know what I'm going to do? Whenever I have a bad thought, I'm going to keep it, and I'll show you how to do this in a second, how the scripture shows us this. I'm going to keep it in my head. I'm not saying I've got a 100% track record, by the way, but I'm better than I was. I'm going to keep it in there. I'm not going to verbalize it because I'm not giving him any satisfaction. I'm going to keep it in here until it becomes obedient to Christ, and then I will speak out something that is good, something that is pure, something that is lovely. So, for example, when I have a bad thought in my mind that says, oh, I don't like such and such a person, I don't verbalize it. I begin to bring the thing under the authority of Christ, and then when I'm ready to, when that has happened, I then speak it out. And rather than saying, I don't like them, they're an idiot, or I don't like them, they left during my sermon, or something like that. I'm joking, I never think that, of course. I then say to myself, I'm going to speak something good about that person. I'm going to speak something good about that person. The reason I believe that Satan can hears your words but can't know your thoughts is that only God knows your heart. Only God knows the heart. There is so much that is just between us and God, far more than we realize. Only God, you and God, really, really, really know the heart. The evidence I'll give to you is that Satan, one of the things is that Satan used Herod to find Jesus because he wanted to kill him. But he didn't know where to go to find Jesus until someone spoke. He didn't know where to go until someone spoke. You'll see that in Matthew 2, verses 3 to 4. He didn't know where to go until someone spoke. If that person had never spoken, Herod would never have sent spies unless he just sent them in all directions on a wild goose chase. But because someone spoke, he knew where to go. Now, thankfully, God intervened and he kept Jesus safe, didn't he? But no. And so the lesson that we can take from that is that we need, I believe, to keep negative thoughts under control. Don't verbalize them. Wait and then make them obedient to Christ. What does the Bible say? Well, it says this about our thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. It says, the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Divine power to demolish strongholds. You have access to this stuff tonight. And it's far greater than guns, it's far greater than bombs, it's far greater than knives or anything like that. You can demolish every suggestion of Satan by the weapons that God has given us to fight with. We demolish arguments, it says, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Okay? This is step number one for mastering your mind. Step number one, you can demolish every argument and make it obedient to Christ by keeping it a thought. Don't verbalize it, keep it a thought. Okay? So, therefore, what you do is you imagine, this might be a helpful thing for you, imagine that Christ, Jesus, everything that Jesus wants for you is good. Everything Jesus wants for you is going to be for your benefit. Even things that might be tricky or tough or a bit hard, it's all for your benefit. It's all based on love, okay? If it's not love, it's not God. Imagine that Christ is a mesh or like a sieve. Anything that goes through the sieve and disappears the other side, bad stuff, let it go. Whatever stays in the sieve becomes obedient. Christ is the sieve. It becomes. It will be. If it stays in the sieve, it's obedient to Christ. Therefore, it means it's good. Keep hold of that stuff. Let the bad stuff drain out the bottom. I'm seeing in my mind spaghetti in a colander. Let the bad stuff drain out. Let the good stuff remain. Sorry, am I making anyone hungry? Have you not had your dinner yet? Everyone's going to go out and get all the spaghetti now, aren't they? Keep your thoughts. So keep your thoughts until your thoughts are obedient to Christ. Don't let them have any power, and certainly don't verbalize them. Ask God, pray to God and say, Lord, how can I turn this negative thought, this negative emotion into something good, something that's going to build up, something that I'm going to be able to fixate upon and say, that's lovely, that's wonderful. That's what we do with our thoughts. Secondly, with our words. Proverbs 18:21 says this. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. One translation says, those who treat their tongue like their friend will eat its fruit. That immediately made me think completely differently. Treat your tongue like your friend. Who would want to hurt a true friend? I wouldn't. Treat your tongue like you never want to hurt anyone with it. The Good News Bible, I don't normally go to the Good News Bible, but I love this translation of Proverbs 18:21, they said, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. Wow, that's good. Power of different translations. There's so many more things, things than I've got time to tell you about the words that we have, the things that we can speak out. But simply to master your mind, I want to encourage you to think upon good things and only verbalize stuff that is good. Only verbalize stuff that is right and true and honorable and loving. It means sometimes that we need to say things that maybe pinch a little bit, but they should always be seasoned with salt. They should always be loved. So sometimes I may need to say to people, do you know what? That's not right. But I'm telling you that because God's got something better for you than the life you're living right now. You're kind of living here, but God says, I'm up here. Come join me up here. It's not so much that that's wrong. It's just that there's something so much better for you that doesn't involve this. There's more about words and thoughts in your Bible. I implore you, go and do like a study. Go and learn more in your own time. But get your thoughts under control and obedient to Christ, and it'll affect your words. If you think upon the right things, you're likely to speak the right stuff out as well. James 1:19 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I'm terrible at this. I'm absolutely terrible at this because I'm always kind of ready to speak. Kelly's like, yeah, you are terrible at this, James. I'm always quick and ready to speak. How about... how about giving someone else an opportunity to speak and listen and then respond? How about that? How about that? I'm nearly through. Just looking one more time at our thoughts, and then I want to give you an opportunity to commit to something tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to commit to something tonight and say, I'm moving forward from where I am now. When it comes to our thoughts, Paul in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, he writes this mainly about people who are trying to oppose God through false teaching. And that's just what happens today. We can teach ourselves absolute rubbish by saying to ourselves, I'm not good enough, when God says we are. When we say, no, I'm not qualified, when God says, I'm qualifying you. When you say, no one could ever love me, and then I say, no, actually, that's not true, that's rubbish. Even if no person ever loved me, I'm loved by the God, the creator of heaven and earth, the author of life. And love God, if you truly love God, then people will want to love you in return, because they'll see something that they want. People are desperate for a piece of what you've got. Often they just don't know it yet. It's loads of people are absolutely desperate for Jesus. They just don't realize it. So often we settle for a life that's inferior to the life that God has for us. And he's just saying, come join me up here. I've got something so much better for you. Don't compare yourself with anyone. If you have a setback or if you think upon bad things, just get them under control. Just go back, okay, all right, I've had a little bit of an episode. Get yourself back on track. While there's still life in your body, breath in your lungs, as long as your heart's still ticking, there is hope. You can make it, you can reset, you can go back to the start again. That's your thoughts, your words. That is said. I've already said to you. One translation says, "Those who treat their tongue like their friend will eat its fruit." Those who treat their tongue like their friend. I changed my thinking completely when I began to think, "I need to treat my tongue like my friend." Think of your best friend. Think of it might have been your first ever friend. It might be someone who you just love spending time with. Would you ever want to hurt them? I'd never want to hurt them. Never knowingly want to hurt them. But so easily we can, just because of what we say and even because of what we just think about. So let's get our thoughts under control. Let's make them obedient to Christ. Let's offer them up to God and say, Lord, I want to be thinking about the right things, so I'm going to meditate on your word. I'm going to worship even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get around godly people who will help me and encourage me. Treat your tongue like your friend. If you get your words under control, thoughts under control, your words will follow. Ask yourself, are my words, the things that I speak, are they endorsed by the living word? Jesus is the living word. If you think of a book, when only quite often you'll see that a book, the foreword of a book or a book review has been given by a particular person. Someone would only put their name to it and say that this is a good book if they genuinely think it. Think to yourself, would Jesus approve of what I'm going to say now? Would he say, yep, great? Or would he say, did I tell you to say that? If not, give it a moment. It says in the Bible that we can't tame our tongues, but we can keep a constant watch on it. We can't tame our tongues. We can't just go, and that's it. But we can keep a constant watch on it. James 1 tells us, I was reading it yesterday, tells us that we should not just listen, but do as well. We shouldn't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And James 3 says that even just by putting a tiny bit in the mouth of an animal, you can turn the whole animal, get it to go and behave wherever you want and however you want. And a ship itself is steered by a tiny, tiny little rudder. It says that the tongue can kill us if we're not careful. So treat it like your friend. Can the band just come back? And I want to tell you one last thing, and then I want to give you an opportunity to, and I hope some people respond to this. I hope you respond to this. This might have had some kind of effect on you. I hope it has. But I want to give you a guarantee tonight. I once said to my dad when he was alive, wouldn't it be great if we could do like an alpha where you give someone a money-back guarantee? Someone gives you like £100 and you say, if you really follow Jesus with all your heart, you'll feel better in, you know, 6 months' time or something like that. I remember thinking that's actually a really, that's not a very wise thing or a very sensible thing. But I want to give you a guarantee tonight that if you truly do this, if you can do these two things, you can master your mind. Firstly, if you can get your thoughts under control, make them obedient to Christ, and make sure that your thoughts and your words are endorsed by the living word, then things will change. Because people will notice, especially over time, people notice that you're thinking differently and speaking differently. People want to be with you in a way that they're maybe not now. Maybe they want to be with you even more than they are now. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond. And what I'd really like to do, this might sound a little bit strange for people, what I'd love to do is I have a jar of oil here. And I'm going to do this too. I'm going to ask someone to anoint me with oil and when we're done. Because I want to take this seriously too. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not going to do myself. But what I really want to do is, during worship, I'm going to stand here and please at least someone come. What I'd like to do, if you want to get your thoughts under control and your words under control, what I'm going to do, this is a two-step process. I'm going to take some oil and I'm going to put a tiny little dab on you. If you come forward to me, I'm going to put a tiny little dab on your head. That'll represent your thoughts. And then I'd just love you to dip your finger in it as well and just put it across your lips. I thought about, I'll do it, but then I thought me touching people's lips is a bit weird. And, you know, I've washed my hands, but even so, let's just not go there. So could we do that? If you want to, and I'll pray and then we'll do that. But if you want to get your, say, I'm getting my thoughts under control, making them obedient to Christ, and I'm going to also get my lips under control, if you come forward, I'll dab you on the head with the oil to represent your thoughts. And if you just dip your finger in the oil, just a tiny little bit, and say, I'm guarding my words there as well, then things will change, things will move forward. Do you know, I feel, especially during worship, I was thinking to myself, I feel really sorry for people who haven't been here tonight, because this was wonderful. This is really wonderful. Father, I really pray for everyone here tonight. I thank you for everyone. And Lord, I pray that tonight we'll just get our words and our thoughts under control. And I pray, Lord, that we'll really begin to see a change. Lord, I want to think upon good things. I want to think upon your love and the wonder of God and the immense possibilities of God and all these good things. Lord, I don't want to be thinking about mirth and rubbish and horrible stuff. I want to be thinking on good things. So I pray, Lord, for all of us that we'll get our thoughts under control. And Lord, help us to get our words under control as well. Help us to speak out love and life. Help us to be people that others who are desperate to be around, because we speak life over stuff. I pray, Lord, that as we go into one final song, that people will really respond to this and that we'll really begin in a new way living for you. In Jesus' name, amen.